We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with almost 50 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Podcast, presented weekly by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. I'm Wyatt Thompson, joined by Stan Weber. Kansas State is getting set to open Big 12 conference play at West Virginia Saturday. Our coverage on the K-State Sports Network will begin at 12:30 with the pregame show. The Cats got their second win of the year this past Saturday, beating UTSA. The final was 41-17. And Stan, just a couple of thoughts about that one, and then we'll preview West Virginia. We talked last week about K-State taking a step forward. Certainly, I think for the most part they did, and they did so, did they not, in several different areas, I think.
That's right, Wyatt. Starting with an opening drive touchdown to get some momentum early in the game, passing and running the football, all important things for K-State. And it was actually the first touchdown in the first half all season long. Alex Barnes rushed the ball in, and K-State gets their first rushing touchdown of the year. And you just start building on the improvement. And then I thought they finished off the half very strongly, scoring at the end and separating at that point, even though the game was tied for a little while. So there's some adversity in there they had to fight through. They had to have consistency, and they seemed to be able to do that, clean up the penalties. Turnovers didn't occur until late in the ball game, and Bill Snyder will want those to be cleaned up. But coming out in the third quarter, they set the tone, which is so important. You got to be a good third-quarter football team. And then finally, K-State had a big enough lead that the backups came in. You got to hand it to UTSA. They did get a turnover in there against the Wildcats, and they fought very hard wanting to improve their football team. Did a nice job, and that's why the score seemed a little closer. But, in fact, K-State was the dominant team. I think they improved greatly, and they're more ready to get into conference play than they were when the game started.
Let's talk about Skylar Thompson, the quarterback for Kansas State, briefly. He went 13 of 18 in the game and threw for a career high in terms of yardage. And I saw Dalton Schoen on Tuesday at the press conference, and he said something to the effect of, he felt like Skylar's rhythm was better. You have played the position. Tell me what your take is on what he meant by that.
Well, you just throw the ball a little bit earlier. You're more confident in your timing, and you don't need to watch and double-check if the receiver's open. When you get into a rhythm, you just can feel you're hitting your fifth step. You turn, the receivers make their breaks, and you just fire the football. And it makes it a bigger opening. You know, sometimes when you're a little tentative, Wyatt, you'll wait, make sure a guy's open, and then the window starts closing, and you can still complete the pass. But it isn't the way it should be. And the receivers were able to catch the ball before the defenders got there and make a little move, and they did it throwing some hitches, throwing the ball downfield. And Skylar is very aware right now. Like, if they jump off sides, he realizes that he has a free play, has been sending the ball deep with nothing to lose, kind of like Aaron Rodgers does for the Green Bay Packers in the NFL. So he's definitely more and more comfortable out there, and I did think he had a nice rhythm throwing the ball when he should with confidence to the open receiver.
Big day for Isaiah Zuber, and we've all kind of been waiting for that. I was really intrigued by Bill Snyder's postgame comments. He referenced basically that this is what he is capable of weekly, but he's got to go do it weekly. So you know where I'm headed here. I think K-State needs him to be good every single week, not just once in a while, right?
Yeah, and a lot of aspects in the game, too, because now he's a returner as well, and he had a big punt return. That got K-State great field position and got them right back in front. So he's going to have to be excellent when he's returning kickoffs and punts. And then down after down, you've just got to have a great discipline. Run the route the way you're supposed to. An early third down play, Wyatt, when he caught the ball over the middle, low and in between the safeties, the cornerbacks, and the linebackers, you got to go down and make that catch and keep the drive alive, and it ends up being a scoring drive. Then when a defender falls down because he makes a good move, he continues to run his route appropriately. Skyler sees him, gives him a ball for a touchdown. And then even later in the ball game, he gets a chance. They play press man-to-man. He needs to make a quick move, separate himself, and give himself a chance for a big play. And Alex Delton actually came in and was the one who delivered the ball perfectly to Zuber for a 72-yard touchdown play. So many of these plays, if you break them down, there was a lot of discipline to execute the play all the way to the end, not just a quick move or not showing speed after a catch, but doing everything right from the start of the play all the way to the end. And it really showed up. There are all kinds of plays that I just spoke about that look different, but he was involved in them doing the right thing, and he has a chance to be a real special player. Coach Snyder knows more about, hey, he didn't go the right direction on this play or didn't make the right block, and they want even more out of him in that way. That doesn't show up as much to us just watching the game. We may not see a mistake unless it's a drop ball, but his consistency factor is important. It seems like he's getting better, and on the plays where he did get the ball, he did a lot of special things last week.
A couple of more questions about the game from this past Saturday, and I would start with the offensive line. You have a pretty good sense of what happens up there, how they're coached by Charlie Dickey. They were better. From your perspective, what were maybe a couple of the things that were more consistent and better for that offensive line?
Well, I think the biggest thing, Wyatt, is when the play was a pass play, they not only stayed in front of their guy, which is important. You want to stay in front of your defender, and as that defender moves, you almost are dancing along with him to stay square and not get off balance and fall down. But that's not all that Bill Snyder wants. That happened against Mississippi State at times, but they got shoved back into the quarterback's feet, into the pocket, you would say. In this game, they not only were square with the defender, they didn't allow themselves to get pushed back. So as a pass blocker, you sometimes can retreat. It's okay to retreat a little bit, but it's not a complete retreat. You're not just staying in front of the guy, and we really saw that. They established themselves and kind of hit that spot where they said, I'm not going to get pushed any further. You know, I'll retreat a little bit, get square, but now I'm not only going to stay in front of you but attack you and keep you away from our quarterback. And that was a big thing. Think about all the throws and the highlights you've seen, Wyatt, over and over again of Skylar Thompson with plenty of room in the pocket. That is a big differential. That's an improvement. That's that toughness factor. When Coach Snyder was saying play more physically, he was just saying don't get moved back a yard, just being moved back a yard. Each lineman being moved back a yard against Mississippi State can mess the passing game up, where against UTSA, they establish themselves. Then in a running game, obviously they're athletic, they can move, they have a lot of different responsibilities, and they seem to get to those responsibilities, finish some blocks with some passion. K-State's not a finished product on the offensive line. They're not dominant yet, Wyatt, but they improved, and I think mostly in the pass blocking, where Coach Snyder said, don't allow yourself to get shoved back, even when you're in the right position, and I think they did better there, without a doubt.
You're listening to the Wildcat Weekly Podcast, presented each week by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. A thought on the Wildcat defense. I think, too, that they played a solid game, but maybe I'll go at this from a negative angle. How concerned are you about the fact that through three games, K-State has only two sacks?
Well, I think it's going to be something that they're going to have to work with. Why, sometimes you have a natural knack for being a pass rusher. and K-State may not have that dominant guy. I watch Jordan Willis, for instance, playing in the NFL, and you're going to get sacked if that guy's rushing the passer. They don't have a Jordan Willis right now. But one thing that they've done that needs to be improved on, Wyatt, is Blake Seiler has sent some blitzes. Right early in the ball game, for instance, Walter Neal came off the edge blitzing the quarterback, and he had a free run and yet missed the tackle.
Yeah.
If you go back and look at the last two games, there have been some instances where a pass rusher or a blitzing linebacker or safety or cornerback even have been there and they haven't finished off the tackle. So to your point, you've got to get those sacks to help out. You may not have Jordan Willis going back there, but if they design a play and get you back there, you need to get that quarterback down. Don't let him scramble, get away, throw the ball, or gain yardage. And that's something they need to improve on. But otherwise, I think that they're going to have to keep their rush integrity. There were times, Wyatt, against UTSA where the guys were rushing the quarterback, and they may not get there for the sack, but the second aspect of this is do not let the quarterback get out of the pocket. We all need to work together. If there are four defensive rushers or if there are five, whatever it is, you not only are trying to get to the quarterback, Wyatt, you've got to keep the integrity of being like a band, having your position so they can't slip out. If you remember early in the ball game, UTSA kept the drive alive right away by a quarterback slipping right through two rushers and getting a first down. That'll be just as important. You're going against a guy like Will Grier. He's a great passing quarterback for West Virginia. You cannot give him open area to move forward in the pocket and throw or run. So you not only are trying to get to the quarterback, you're trying to keep him in a certain spot.
Well, that's a good transition. Let's move on and talk about the opponent, West Virginia. K-State plays the Mountaineers in Morgantown Saturday at 2:30. Our coverage will begin at 12:30 on the K-State Sports Network. It's obvious that Will Grier can really play, but when you hear Bill Snyder talk about that offense, you know what he talks about, don't you? Balance.
Yeah, Coach Snyder understands so well. I mean, he was one of the greatest offensive coordinators ever, how to stress a defense, and that is to have balance in your offense. And then when you add another aspect to it, Wyatt, there's balance in running and passing, having the capability of doing both those things. But there's a new one as well in college football, and that's using the whole field.
Mm-hmm.
Will Grier likes to throw the ball deep on the fly routes and the one-on-one opportunities downfield with his great receiving core, maybe the best receiving core in the country. Oklahoma's going to argue. Alabama's going to argue. But this West Virginia group has all the capabilities. So they not only have balance with running and passing, they can throw the ball right down the line of scrimmage and have that screen game with wide receivers. They can throw all the intermediate routes like a pro team, and then he also wants to throw the ball over the top. So West Virginia has diversity in their offense from running the football all the way to throwing deep and everything in between. They're a very big-time offense.
Well, it certainly is a concern when you talk about their balance and Will Grier's ability to throw the ball. But let's talk a little bit about David Sills, Gary Jennings, and also Marcus Sims. I have to throw Marcus Sims in there because those other two guys are terrific, but he's pretty good too, and it gives them just an astronomical amount of weapons with a really good quarterback. What's going to be the key to kind of slowing these guys down as you see it?
Well, I think you're going to have to try to get Will Grier a little uncomfortable, Wyatt. He is a great pocket passer, but he's not a big-time runner. So I think if you can get him on the move to move sideways, don't let him step up in the pocket, but step a couple steps sideways. You don't have to sack him, and you sometimes can keep him a little off balance. If he's sitting in that pocket and has rhythm, he can really throw the ball. I think K-State's going to have to be good in the red zone because that's where Sills is unbelievable. This guy was offered a scholarship to USC when he's 13 years old as a quarterback. He's played quarterback in college. He actually was away from West Virginia at a community college for a while, played quarterback. He is so smart, has great hands, he is big, and he is a touchdown-scoring machine. From the fade route to the slants and everything in between, K-State's going to have to limit the damage. Remember, he had big touchdown catches in that close win by West Virginia over K-State last year. So I think they're going to have to be good there. Jennings is more of a deep threat and had over 1,000 yards receiving last year. Sims is a great returner in the kick game and a fast player who can get deep as well. So I think you have to be a good tackling team, but at some point, Wyatt, it's going to have to be winning third down and winning in the red zone. Can you force West Virginia to kick some field goals instead of touchdowns, or are you going to let Seals get that opening in the end zone? That's going to be a big question because they may move the ball, but that doesn't mean they've scored. And to score a field goal is a big difference in a touchdown for K-State to have a chance to win.
A brief comment from you on Tony Gibson's defense. He's the coordinator of West Virginia's defense. Their schemes are a little bit different. I think when I look at this team, I think they've got a little bit more size and athleticism in that front grouping. But injuries have hurt their linebacking core at least to a certain degree. They lost a couple of guys in the preseason, lost Charlie Benton for the year in that opener against Tennessee. What kind of is this a typical Tony Gibson defense? Are they as good, maybe not quite as good? How do you see that?
Well, I don't think they're quite as good as they've been, but remember, they've had NFL stars at strong safety-type positions, and their linebackers have been very good as well. Just real big-time leaders. That's the area that they're concerned about, obviously, is their linebacker position with all the injuries. They have guys who are solid, will get the job done. Tony Gibson, best defensive coordinator in the Big 12, I believe. His strategy, his schemes are so hard to beat. They run a unique defense. A lot of times they're lined up in 3-3. They can bring blitzes from everywhere. Their nose guard is a transfer from USC, and he has been blowing things up, Wyatt. He is going to be a big key. Can K-State get him blocked? Because he's in the backfield. Really, this defense is reconstructed because of the injuries at linebacker, and then Wyatt, the transfers in. I mean, they've got guys from big-time schools that have transferred into the defensive side of the football, and yet a couple of starters from last year transferred or sat out. A couple of backups who could have been a factor got hurt in the spring at the linebacker position. So I think they're still learning together, if that makes sense. They've only played two games. Remember, they got that game against North Carolina State. It got canceled. So although West Virginia is an experienced football team, every offensive lineman back, all the receivers back, a superstar quarterback, a good coaching staff, all those things, they still are a work in progress as well. Now, they've been able to hide it by the fact that they've been able to score 40 to 50 points a game and find winning plays. But defensively, still some things to be sorted out. Tony Gibson in his first two games, Wyatt, was a lot more simple, a lot less blitz and attacking the opponent. But I think it's because he's trying to get his guys all settled in, all the new players settled in and doing the right things. They're pretty good. There's no weaknesses, but there's no dominant players other than a nose guard blowing things up that just take the game over. They've had those kind of guys in the last 5 or 6 years in the defensive backfield, strong safeties, those kind of players. So they're good. The real question is, what will they show when they get to conference play? It's kind of a reset, right? We're now in conference play. Will they go back to the blitzing style? Will that week off give them time to practice? Or are they still going to have to keep things simpler for the new players? We don't know. That's one of the intriguing things here as we start conference play. We don't know exactly where K-State and even West Virginia are going to go. The only known factor of these two teams that I really feel comfortable with is the West Virginia offense. Mm-hmm. You know what you got, you know what you've had, and you know what you can do with them. They're dominant, they're very good, they're going to be hard to stop. But every other unit from K-State side and West Virginia, I think, are a work in progress, that they'll be a lot different week 8, week 9 than they are right now.
Well, we'll preview what should be an unbelievable good weekend in Big 12 action coming up in just a moment. But we remind you, this week's Wildcat podcast is presented by BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices, they always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. And by Kansas Land Tire, from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between. Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit the TireStore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. Six games in the league on Saturday, including our broadcast game, K-State at West Virginia. It's on ESPN National Television. Of course, we want you listening to us starting at 12:30 with the pregame show. Five other games, and four of them total are conference games. So we're getting into the meat of this thing. And I guess I have to start and ask you about what I think is really a neat matchup, with TCU coming off a hard loss in Arlington to Ohio State against Texas, who's coming off a big high as at home they beat USC. I like this game. What do you think you're going to see?
Well, this is very intriguing because Texas is playing very good, and their confidence level has skyrocketed with that win over USC. It was a very controversial play in the first half where I think Texas got trapped for a safety, but somehow the officials and the replay officials did not call it that way.
Agreed.
And from that point forward, they dominated USC, and they've got to feel very good about themselves. TCU put on a show for the Big 12 as well. Both teams were playing, and the nation was saying, wow, this Big 12 football must be pretty good, because they'd already watched Oklahoma State beat Boise State in really strong fashion, and now USC was getting pounded by Texas, and TCU was going toe-to-toe with Ohio State. So where are we? You know, TCU is a more reliable team, something that you can believe in and expect to be good, and you don't know about the Longhorns, but this game's at Texas, Wyatt, and TCU played a very physical battle. Sometimes a battle like that can carry over to the next week. You're a little more bruised and beaten up. Normally, TCU would be so fired up about playing Texas and feel disrespected, but right now, I think their mindset's a little different. Once you finish that Ohio State game and given so much to it, it's hard to find that venom that you normally have for Texas. So it is a weird dynamic where I don't think TCU can just go in and say, we're going to show Texas we're better than them. Texas has a lot of advantages. So normally I would expect TCU to beat Texas home or away. Mm-hmm. But this game here, I'm really intrigued. I could see it going either way, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if Texas is on a high right now and gets the job done. It's not easy to play Ohio State one week and bounce back and play what you think is a rival that TCU has to play on the road. A very intriguing game. But the Big 12, there's a lot more respect around the country for the Big 12 after last week. I thought it was a dynamic week, even with West Virginia and North Carolina State called off. It was just a super fun week for Big 12 football, and the nation took notice what they did. There's a lot more respect right now. And Wyatt, we're getting ready to roll through 9 conference games, and it is going to be so hard. Yeah. Look up and down that schedule and go, wow, who's playing poorly? Not Texas Tech. You know, not Baylor, not Kansas. Where are you going to find the teams that can't do anything right? And then if you want to talk about teams that are really good, look no further than TCU, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma lighting it up so far. Iowa State fighting like crazy. I mean, there's no one who's struggling at football right now in the Big 12. So let's get ready to roll, and it starts with one of the best, West Virginia and K-State.
Well, here's your schedule for Saturday. Akron will be at Iowa State. Kansas plays at Baylor. K-State and West Virginia in Morgantown with our coverage at 12:30. TCU and Texas at 3:30. And then Tech at Oklahoma State at 6. Oklahoma will host Army at 6 o'clock. Again, 12:30 for our pregame show coverage on Saturday. Well, Stan, it should be a heck of a weekend. We appreciate your time, and we'll do it again next week.
5 of the remaining 9 games are on the road, Wyatt, so the Wildcats need to get out and get to work. But Bill Snyder's been able to do that, so I'm excited. Big-time game Saturday afternoon.
Yes, sir, no doubt. We're looking forward to it. That's going to be this week's Wildcat Podcast, presented each week by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks so much for listening, and go Cats!
This has been the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.